deliciously delicious hello to you from, well, somewhat rainy Vancouver, where the action never stops, even as we change our socks. This is Tom, and I'm coming at you at hair-blowing speed. Well, that's not my hair, that is. With the February 2012 issue of Tomicide Solutions, conspicuously entitled about compensating business development people. Do you know that on average, a Twinkie will explode in the microwave in 45 seconds? That's a rather interesting fact. And what makes it even more interesting is, I believe, this is less than the time it takes for your business development people to go ballistic and start sabotaging your company's success when they realize they get grossly underpaid, so the suits can pocket more money for the more of the money the business development people have just created. For many years, one of the greatest headaches of business owners has been the gross misalignment between the marketing and sales departments. But when we look at the misalignment between business development, that is, people in marketing and sales, and the rest of the company, what we have is the proverbial Grand Canyon. Business owners oversimplify business development when they believe that business development people can be made single-handedly responsible for generating revenue for their companies, and everyone else can just wait for the money to come in. Then the big boss can take the money, redistribute it among the rest of the employees according to his discretion. Well, nepotism, basically, in most cases, and give the business development people just enough that doesn't piss them off and make them quit. Commissions are even worse. Commission people get singled out for getting paid for their performance, although a significant chunk of their performance is not even under their control. And when the expected performance doesn't happen, everyone gets paid as if nothing had happened, except the business development folks or the salespeople who get severely beaten up for lackluster performance. The question why they didn't perform according to expectation usually doesn't even come up, but that's not surprising considering that many managers are far too dumb to look at situations in context. They just look at the situation as an individual standalone event. And they just say that, well, our salespeople are idiots, they can't perform. But if you realize that if they performed last month and a month before, there's a good chance they could perform this month as well, and something that's outside their control has changed. Look at most IT companies, and what you find is that only business development people are held accountable for their performance, while the others can merely exist and pick up their paychecks every fortnight, regardless of their performance. Even the so-called performance evaluation is a joke. Mind you, I'm totally against performance evaluations because it evaluates the wrong thing. But if there's an evaluation, let's have an evaluation for every employee, and let's have some kind of metrics for every employee. The attrition rate in business development is notoriously high. What this gap between the business development folks and the rest of the company also means is that business development folks are compensated for individual short-term performance, but all the others are compensated based on long-term department or company-wide performance. When we look at it, we see that problem starts with failing to recognize that you are in the complex sale business. It's bad enough to have salespeople without subject matter expertise, but treating them as people doing simple sales is a disaster. How does this happen from the management's perspective? A few years ago, after one of my talks, I had a discussion with Joe, an IT sales guy in his mid-40s. He was a bit more than frustrated. He had a great year in the previous year, and thanks to his skills and smart work, he made a piss-pot of money. But his manager thought it wasn't normal to let one person earn so much money, so he had a cunning idea. Actually, it was so cunning that if you put a tail on it, it would become a weasel. At the end of the year, he doubled Joe's quota, halved his sales territory, and pretty drastically cut back on his commission percentage. What Joe realized was that if he still wanted to make reasonably good money, he had to work harder than a prisoner in a gulag labor camp and had to take more time away from his family. You see, his sales manager failed to realize that they were in the complex sale business and he couldn't just rapidly change salespeople without consequences. So Joe asked me about what I thought he could do. I suggested to him that he would quit the company, click over into broker mode, and instead of selling the company stuff, he could secure projects and hire his company as his subcontractor. I thought he was expected to operate as a lone wolf anyway without any support from his employer, so why not operate as one and keep all the money? And this is what he did. Over the years he's acquired quite a few clients and has sent a number of RFPs to his former employer. Maybe due to price or something else, but his former company has never responded but threatened to sue him multiple times for stealing clients. But realistically, Joe has never stolen clients. He's acquired those clients while he was in the employment of the company, and therefore he had the right to notify those clients about his departure from the company. After all, those clients had relationships with him, not with his company. You see, salespeople who are so good that they are worth hiring don't want a corporate albatross around their necks. They quit when they feel they got hard done by. But since the sales terrain has changed to team-based consultative selling, that requires a better approach to compensation than straight commission. So what is the problem here, really? Many business owners want to hire superstar salespeople who are very, very cheap to run. So business owners decide to pay straight commission to their salespeople. The problem is that salespeople, just as any other people, want a certain level of security in their lives. That's just how the old reptilian brain works. So when people argue that no, people operate better under pressure, you know, you can't go against genetics and you can't go against how the brain operates. It's silly to say that some people's brain operate this way, some people's brain operate that way. The old reptilian brain operates the same way for everyone. So because of this instruction from the old brain, people keep searching for more and more secure positions for themselves because, let's face it, the commission structure doesn't give them any security, and the old brain craves security. Now, you may say you pay a generous 15% commission to your salespeople, but if you consider that they take 100% of the risk, do 100% of the work, and invest 100% of their own money in pursuit of new business, 100% risk for 15% reward is pretty pathetic. It's not surprising that the best salespeople simply become deal brokers and invite their former employers to bid on projects. This is not exactly what we could call good news, but it certainly has a positive side to it. Most of those salespeople who become brokers are the types of people who prefer to work alone. It also means that people who prefer to work in teams stay with you. They are not sales superstars, but we don't need superstars anyway. What we need is a cohesive team of pretty good people capable of lateral thinking. In an odd way, this is like building a car. If you get the best engine, the best brakes, the best transmission, and the best body, do you really have a car? No, what you have is a pile of best-in-class bits and bobs. You have the best of everything, but you couldn't drive it from point A to point B. But you can also take a car, say a BMW 300, which is a great car, but far from the best of the best. But it is a car, and it can be driven pretty well. Business development is the same. You don't need superstars. You need a cohesive team of pretty good professionals, and they will run rings around the lone wolf superstars. So now, let's look at individual performance versus team performance. And first and foremost, let's define performance. There are people who believe that past performance is the perfect predictor of future performance. Well, I disagree. I say past behavior is a perfect predictor of future behavior. Performance is applied behavior in a specific environment. For instance, take a top-notch executive assistant out of her private sector employer and put her into a unionized public sector office to be a top bureaucrat's assistant. I'm almost certain she would fail rather miserably. Why? In the private sector, she applied her behavior, talent, skills, expertise, etc. in a merit-based environment. But in the public sector, merits don't exist. It's a sort of brotherhood, and what really matters is politics. Scheming, scamming, kissing up, kicking down, brown-nosing. So no matter how good she was in the private sector, in the fundamentally corrupt public sector, she would fail. It's business owners' responsibility to create a kick-ass culture in the companies in which great people can naturally thrive, in which people are compelled, naturally compelled to do their best work without motivation or nudging or cajoling. This applies to individuals too, but even more to teams. Yes, if you are lucky, you might have business development people who have technical expertise and they can perform individually. But as technical complexities have grown over the last few years, what I see is that it's always teams of professionals that make sales, not lone wolves. This also means that individual compensation would be rather retarded because it creates competition within the business development team. So let's look at the team's compensation. As we've discussed before, these team members are not superstars, but pretty good professionals. Nothing earth-shattering, but steady, trustworthy, reliable citizen who would struggle in a lone wolf environment. So that's an extra incentive for them to stay in a operate in a team-based environment. And let's see some of the reasons for this team approach. But why would anyone engage in this team approach, considering that letting loose a bunch of lone wolf peddlers is a lot easier than leading a cohesive team? Yes, that's correct. And when we try to keep the costs down, that could be an approach. But there's a world of difference between low cost and high return. And while the lone wolf approach costs little, the return is equally little. Why? There are three ways to grow a business, realistically. Increase the number of clients. This is far the most expensive way of growing a business yet. Most IT companies focus on 80% of their business development budget on getting new clients. Second, increase the number of projects per client. This can work only if the company has a broad range of expertise. Third, increase fees and prices on projects. The art and science of pricing that we are talking about here. Every 1% price increase can add 11.7% to your profits, net profits. Yes, lone wolves can achieve number one, but you need a business development team to pull off number two and number three. The quick bark of number one gives salespeople the thrill of the chase, which many of them crave a lot. Unfortunately, what it doesn't give the business is profits. Profits come from number two and mostly number three. But most salespeople find number two and number three too boring, so they hardly ever do it. It's sad because the profit is in number two and three. And while the lone wolf salespeople can do number one, number two and number three requires a business development team. And here are nine ways business development teams win over lone wolves. Team can provide higher pre-sale value to clients, thus sellers can charge and receive higher fees and prices. Teams can create an uninterrupted relationship with clients regardless of which team member is on vacation or on medical leave. Teams can offer an advantage by offering a multi-perspective view of the client's business. Teams can serve clients more flexibly and responsively. Teams can increase sales price, reduce costs, thus increase margins. Teams can offer a broader range of resources for clients. Teams can provide the two heads are better than one approach. Teams can offer better project management. Teams can offer a more competitive approach to the market, where the lone aggressive independent salesperson is still the norm. So now we've come to individual versus team compensation. When we look at compensation of business development people, we have to look at individual versus team compensation and short-term versus long-term compensation. On the written version of this newsletter, there's a little drawing for that, a little graph. Short-term individual compensation is what most IT companies use because their owners erroneously believe that dangling the proverbial carrot in front of their business development people makes them perform better. It's totally false, but old habits die hard. Besides, it would take some thinking to use a better approach, and thinking is something most people don't want to do. This form of compensation is either straight commission or base pay plus commission, but only on newly acquired business. Long-term individual compensation is based on base pay plus bonus based on individual performance. The bonus is based both on new business and recurring business. This is good because clients usually like starting small, and as time goes by, their projects get bigger and more expensive, offering bigger bonuses for the business development folks. Now we have short-term team compensation is based on base pay plus bonus based on the team's overall performance, but the bonus is based only on newly acquired clients. Long-term team compensation is based on a base pay plus bonus based on the team's performance. The bonus is based both on new business and recurring business, so the team has an incentive both to bring in new business and retain existing clients. Since the rewards are based on the team's performance, rivalry within the team disappears. Also, if there is any problem with a member's performance, the other team members take care of the underperformer without any heavy-handed interference from management. let's remember, peer pressure is much more effective than pressure from superiors. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in business for the long haul, and I want to make sure that so are all my people. I want to run a strategic business, not an opportunistic one, jumping from the left to the right and back to the left in hot pursuit of the quick buck. So, using a reasonable base pay, I want to assure my people that they actually belong to the company, and some short-term ups and downs of the business won't force them to starve or sell their homes for food. Employees are employees because they want to feel a pretty high level of security. If they didn't have cravings for security, they would become competitors. So they get their base pay, but the real McCoy is the bonus structure. And since I expect people to give 100% effort in their work, I pay everyone the same. This may be shocking, but I find over the years that this approach eliminates jealousy within the team, and that's a pretty good idea. What I've also found is that people are more willing to take care of more work if needed, so we can avoid hiring new people because we have to split the bonus pool among more people. You can increase a team's performance either by recruiting more people or tweaking the system. We prefer to work on the system and recruit only when it's absolutely necessary. Of course, there are many business owners who want to keep as much money as possible by underpaying their people. And this leads us to the curse of low-paid business development people. Since you sell high-ticket solutions, your sales process must be pretty high-touch. Before signing on the dotted line of a contract, there is there's significant interaction between buyers and sellers. Actually, I've read somewhere that in a project over $10,000, some 21 people are involved in the decision-making process on the buyer's side alone. What this also means is that high-level decision-makers in the buyer's side often interact with lower-level people on the seller's side. And here comes the impact of being underpaid. When people are underpaid on the top of resentment against their employers, they develop a poverty mentality. So when they talk to affluent people on the buyer side, these people subconsciously act out their own poverty. They feel pity for those poor clients the company tries to gouge. And now the greedy boss wants to charge them those high fees. So subconsciously, employees repel clients and encourage them to start haggling. Underpaid people end up making hints to buyers like, "Yes, you're right, it's far too expensive. I agree, what this company does is daytime robbery. You're right, I would never buy it at this price." Here is the basic problem. In our world, most employees are convinced that the purposes of a business are to pay taxes, to provide jobs, and to give back to the community. Well, I'm not sure about that. Let's take them one by one. To pay taxes, a hefty portion of the collected tax money is wasted on various useless government schemes and scams that do nothing or very little for the public in general, but make some government bureaucrats even more overpaid than they are now, relative to the value they produce. To provide jobs, if your company doesn't need people, then there is no need to hire people, period. Give back to the community. Well, if you've never taken anything from the community, then there is nothing to give back. If you do something in the community, it's not giving back, it's just giving without the back. You've never taken anything, you don't owe the community anything. You are even. If you give, then you give. A business owner's only responsibility is to improve his business by creating value outside his business. For higher value, the business can charge higher fees and prices. Now, the business has better profits and can plow more dough back into the business for future growth, including hiring more people. But all this must be driven by enlightened self-interest, that is, creating wealth for people inside the business. When we run a business, we can run it for the lowest cost or the highest profit. And it takes money to make money, so there are certain costs to running a highly profitable business. Google is regarded as one of the most successful companies. In 2008, Google pulled off just over $1 million revenue per employee and $210,000 pure profit per employee. For every employee, 19.3% of gross revenue became net profit. And Google is happy to spend so much to produce this outstanding profit. The leaders know that trying to cut costs would cut profits even more. By contrast, for Hewlett-Packard, this number is only 7%. Only 7% of gross revenue becomes net profit. HP had 368,000 gross revenue and 25,000 net profit. And for an Indian software company called Baidu, $499,000 of gross revenue became 163,000 net profit. That's a whopping 32.7%. And I dare to bet some vital parts of my anatomy that Google or Baidu like high profits are not produced by underpaid people. A company can't ask its people to make it filthy rich while the company is trying to keep its people dirt poor. It just doesn't add up. So let's just accept the fact that quality people who can produce and are worth employing are not cheap. They don't want outrageous salaries, but they are employees because they want a certain level of security in their lives. Otherwise, they would start their own businesses and go into competition against your company. So, from the business owner's perspective, what is better? To have the best talents in your industry fight in your corner, or let them set up their corners and fight against your company? I think the first option is a lot better, since with every competitor you have less and less chance to be the top dog. So just pay them well and let them focus on doing amazing work. That's the idea, really. And these are the closing thoughts of the February 2012 issue of Tomicide Solutions. We've discussed a few thoughts about compensating business development people. Hopefully you found a couple of valuable points here, and hopefully you can apply some of them. In the meantime, have a great week, and we talk in a few weeks' time.